When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Bonjour à tous. It's another day to change the world, and I'm pretty excited to share this Friday with you. Today's guest is bilingual author of two children's books, Catch That Cat and Trip to Greece. And if any of you have listened to me over the past 4.5 years that I've been doing this podcast, you know that communicating across cultures is my favorite thing to do, my favorite topic to discuss. And I was so excited to have Melina Malis here because she's a Greek-Australian children's author who is on a mission to empower children to connect with their community and their cultural background. She also encourages children to learn and gather greater insight into the world that we live in. And she enables adults to engage in conversations with children so that they can form deeper personal connections. In addition to all this, she also does amazing stuff with organization to encourage, you know, multicultural communities. So love the conversation. It's something I feel like we need in today's world. And I really hope you enjoy the episode. I hope you're able to take some moments to catch what her insights were, and I hope you're able to share the episode. Love you all. Thank you for sticking with me. Enjoy.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready. Take some notes and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's episode is with Melina Malis. She's a children's multicultural educator, a consultant, and an author. Having moved from her birthplace in Greece to Australia at the age of 6, Melina is passionate about helping other children understand and appreciate their home cultural heritage and that of others. A trained early child educator, Melina is actively involved in the juvenile cultural education sphere in Brisbane's thriving Greek community. Welcome to the show, Melina.
Thank you, Tayo. It's really great to be here.
Pleasure is mine. One of my favorite places in the world is indeed Greece, and Santorini is my favorite island that I've ever been to. I remember I fell in love with it once I got there for a college trip, and I haven't lost my love for it. I often said that that's where I want to do my honeymoon whenever I get married. So I'm just curious, what was Greece like? I know you left when you were 6, but do you ever go back? What's the story with Greece?
Yeah, look, I do go back quite regularly. I've been very fortunate that my father inherited his father's house on an island called Kythira. And Kythira is a bit of a mecca for Greek Australians. A lot of them have inherited property, and so they tend to visit the island usually in August. There's sort of an influx of Greek Australians that come, as well as a lot of Greeks from Athens who, you know, have their holiday home on Kythira. So I do usually go in the summer, which is winter in Australia, so it's nice to escape the winter as well. And it's also a lovely time to reconnect with others that you've met over the years that also come at the same time to visit the island. But yeah, Santorini is just, I know what you mean. It's in Greece, particularly the islands, it's there's something in the air. It's the food, the hospitality of the people, the beautiful beaches, and it's just a complete different lifestyle to what I'm used to in Australia. So I do love escaping to Greece whenever I have the opportunity.
Yeah, wow. No, that's fascinating to me. And I got that much when I was in Greece, and I only stayed there for about a couple of weeks. So I can only imagine, you know, more of what you're saying. I'm curious though. You said you moved from your birthplace of Greece to Australia at the age of 6. What was the reason for that move?
Probably a personal reason, more so from my father. My parents have an interesting story. They both were born in Australia, but when my father was 2 years old, his mother put an ultimatum to my grandfather and said, "Look, I can't live in this country town in Australia anymore. I need to connect with other Greek people. We either move to Sydney, where there's a lot more Greek speakers there, or we move back to Greece." So his father decided to move the family back to Greece. So my father was the only sibling that was born in Australia. And whilst my mother, she was born and grew up in Australia to first generation Greek immigrants. And it wasn't until she went on her first holiday to Greece with her parents at the age of 30 that she met my father on Kythira, the island, and decided to stay. And so my brother and I were both born in Greece. And it wasn't until I was 6 that my father decided Australia would be a better future for the family in terms of education. And he decided to for us all to move to Australia.
Wow. No, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there, but I'm curious. So when you decided to move to Australia then, do you have any early memories of leaving?
I remember some things. I remember the street we used to live on, family in Greece, and probably the playground we used to frequent. Mm. But it's funny, the street we lived on, I used to always have this image of it as being a really wide street. And when I went back to visit about, I think I was in my 20s, it was just so small and so narrow. So the perspective I had as a child, I had always sort of kept in my mind. And, it was very different in reality.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, wow, so now you're in Australia and you have, you know, this Greek heritage. What did you do to learn how to connect with your cultural heritage? And was it difficult for you to transition into the Australian lifestyle?
There were some cultural differences. I mentioned earlier the lifestyle in Greece is very different to Australia. And where I was born in Athens and grew up in a unit complex, an apartment, a small apartment. So there was no, in terms of sport or sort of those gross motor skills, I didn't really have a very good grasp of. Mm. I remember the sports carnival when I first year of school, I had to actually learn how to run, because I hadn't run in wide open spaces in Greece. And so there were a few things, and obviously the language, but I think I picked up the cues that, you know, that to speak English at school and then to speak Greek at home. And I was fortunate that my mother had done some what is known as correspondence schooling, where from Australia she'd received packages of educational materials. And so I had at least had a bit of a grasp of English before I went to school in Australia. So that helped a lot. That language acquisition.
Wow. And the reason why I'm asking this, because I know you know about my background. I moved around a lot as a kid as well. And I remember, you know, being 10 years old, skinny Nigerian kid with thick Nigerian accent, French speaking country, American in national school, going through puberty. And I you know, the idea of culture heritage was something that I was always interested in because I was, you know, when you grow up the way I did, my parents would always remind me that, you know, you don't lose your Nigerian heritage no matter where you go. So we would be taught the history and everything. We will always read all the textbooks. I'm thinking today with globalization and kids, because you're children's multicultural educator. Do you feel like that same emphasis has been placed, or do you feel like there's a lot of work that needs to be done to make sure our children understand their culture heritage and know how to be multicultural?
Yeah, look, I think America is very similar to Australia in that it is a multicultural sort of community and of people. And there are benefits and there are downsides as well. I think one of the downsides is that you can lose part of your connection to your heritage. And I think this is where travel, if you have the opportunity to do that and go back and reconnect with the country of origin, is really one of the best ways to maintain that cultural connection. Another, I think now with the internet, you have that opportunity via Skype or via other online communities such as Facebook and video, and to be able to sort of tie in aspects of your interest to your particular cultural background. But living in a multicultural environment can sometimes, I guess, there are many cultures living together, and that's where the different beliefs and values can come in. So it's important to, I believe, look for the similarities to be able to connect with people, because all cultures do have some similarities. You know, usually it's that love of family, being able to express oneself through dance, through food, through dress. And I think it's respecting those similarities and an appreciation of that that person's background and finding shared values. I think that's key to really embracing one another and respecting one another. In Greece, you know, most people have the same religion, same they celebrate the same public holidays. They there's a sort of a mutual understanding that's, you know, not stated, but it's just inherited and understood. And I think that's also changing now in Greece with an influx of immigrants from Syria and other neighbouring countries. So it will be interesting to see how that changes that whole makeup and attitude of that country in years to come.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're so right, first of all. I mean, and the reason why I brought that up is not only because of your work. We've had an interest in 2 years in the last, in the world, basically, you know, whether it's here in America or different parts of the world with different types of regimes coming in there. And there tends to be a certain sentiment towards immigration. And I'm always curious, as someone who works with kids, if you notice the effect early on, or if you have advice on how parents can raise their kids. Because sometimes some parents say, I'm just not going to teach you a little bit about, you know, your culture so you don't look conspicuous and become a target, right? And so, you know, I'm just, I know you get to see a lot of this more than I do, or you've observed it, you study this more. How would you approach that dilemma, you know, where they want the good intentions is they want their kids to live a normal, quote unquote, normal life, but in the long run, the kid probably loses his heritage.
Yeah, this is, the role of the parents is key in how connected a child feels to their cultural heritage. And it's really the priority of the parents. What I see from people I speak to, it's if it's a priority of the parents, then it's usually something that's instilled in the child and that the child feels more comfortable and connected to. With parenting, you know, there's, and usually schooling, there's so many commitments in the family calendar that sometimes those cultural activities, like perhaps learning a traditional dance or learning a language or going to community events, sometimes it's put on the back burner in the preference of the child making sure that they are attending academic extracurricular activities or sporting commitments. So the sort of the school calendar sometimes drives the parents' agendas. But what I see is that a lot of adults sort of regret not having learnt Greek, say, when they were younger, because it's a lot more difficult as an adult to find the time to learn the language, as well as if they're not part of a cultural community, it's harder for them to get back into that community as they get older, because they don't feel a sense of belonging or making friends or connections is a little bit more difficult. So I think starting at a young age is really important. One of the criticisms I hear sometimes from parents is that, you know, if I take them to learn Greek, oh, the standard of teaching isn't that high, and it's not really, and also we live in a country where English is the first language, so I don't see a need for it. It's not so much the learning of the language, I think, that's important. It's more the friendships that those kids will make with other children of a similar cultural background. And I think that's important, because then that's building a sense of who I am. I belong to a community of like-minded people, and it's a community I can go to for support and feel a sense of connection. So I think it's really important to start young and to enrich your life in that way, and not see it as something that will make you not a point of difference in that respect. You need others with similar experiences to have your back, and can and when times are tough, if you do encounter any difficulties, whether it's in the workplace, you have someone to go and talk to who may also have similar experiences to what you've gone through.
Yeah, wow. First of all, did anyone ever tell you that you were a legend, Melina? No, I mean, I if no one has done it, I'm doing the world a service right now to say this, because this is so important, right? I'm the kid that you're talking about that was this, that had to sort of be this chameleon all the time. And I was acutely aware of the different cultures I was always living in. And sometimes you, due to outside pressures or whatever, you almost feel inferior or like a hidden immigrant in your own country. If you come back and like, because you have to overcompensate, look, they think I sound different, but I have to know more. And then I come here, I'm like, no, I have to be more Nigerian because they're saying bad stuff about my country. And it's just this yo-yo dance that you have. And luckily, I had the nerd gene, and I was always a reader. And I'm an educator by trade and all that. But I do have a lot of friends who express the same regret. You know, they have the name, they have the passport, the dual passport, the dual citizenship, but they do regret the fact that their parents didn't stress to them that they should pick up something, learn a dance, do that. And, you know, I've seen how it's caused interest in relationships. And I hear the parents say that because they didn't, you know, it's sometimes, you know, parents just say, I just wanted you to focus in this. I didn't want you to stand out too much. And I'm a proponent of standing out, even though it's difficult initially. But I think that has been the biggest indicator and propeller to what I do today. You know, I say use your difference to make a difference all the time. That's my mission statement. And I'm so curious how we can teach the youth the importance of standing out as opposed to fitting in.
Well, look, I think you stand out by shining through your strengths and through what it is that's unique about you and makes you. Because when you feel good in your own skin and feel proud of who you are, that shows, I believe, it shows that you're a person who knows what they're about, and is proud to be different, and I think that, you know, that takes, it's a lifelong journey to get to that point, particularly if there are challenges in, you know, political environments or ideologies that come through. It's something that you have to be strong within yourself. And this is where I think the role of being strong in your community and cultural background helps with that building of that strength. I think there's strength in volume of people coming together with shared beliefs. But it has to be for a good purpose and a good reason. We have seen it, how that can come, that can cause negativity in other ways. But I think if you're it takes a lot of soul searching, and I think as a child you don't quite have that quite equipped with that. But it's when you become an adult and look back at key milestones that were key experiences that helped shape who you are, and that's why it's important as adults or parents of children to know that you have such an important role to play in how you, in the attitudes that you share with children, and how to be accepting of yourself as well as others. And all cultures, I believe, have a good of a sense of what's right and what's wrong. And it's in the inner goodness of people that we need to appeal to and cultivate, I think, more, particularly now where, you know, there are differences in religions and opinions that really could have infiltrating the fabric of society and having some adverse effects on people and consequences.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that's so important. And I love that you're doing that. Why, can you walk me back to when you decided?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Rather, when you knew that this was your life's work.
Well, you mentioned an interesting point earlier about the dance, and I think the dance never ends, because I know with me, for example, so many times I've been asked the question, would you move back and live in Greece full time? And, you know, it's a question that I always have to rethink, and sort of agree with myself, okay, is this the right decision that I'm actually saying, that I probably wouldn't move back to Greece and live full-time. You know, Australia has given me so many opportunities, then I'm unsure whether I would have in Greece. And there's a sense of loyalty to Australia. Also, I guess I've lived in Australia longer now than what I have in Greece. And so I feel, you know, I'm not just Greek and I'm not just Australian. I am definitely a blend of Greek-Australian. That's a unique blend that I, so for me, I guess the place where I belong is that space of having been born in a different country that I will never forget and never, that's so integral to my identity. But I am Australian and I'm really proud of living in a place that, that does celebrate different cultures and that I can, you know, experience Asian food when I want to, or I can connect with Indigenous heritage from the first Australians. I can go to the museum and I can see, look and learn about the history of immigration to this country. So I think the dance, yeah, it's something that is personal and is it's something that always raises questions for me. But in terms of my work, I really I'm trying to bridge that that gap for kids who do have an interest in Greek culture and the people, the places, and helping them see the positive aspects of Greece, particularly because in the recent years that the economic crisis has been difficult for people to hear the positives about Greece. They always hear the negatives in terms of the economic crisis and the debt bailout and some of the rioting that's happened in the country. And so I wanted to develop books that had that celebrated the positive aspects of Greek people and places. And so my book is set on my first book, Catch That Cat, is set on the Greek island of Kythira, where my family on both sides have originated. And I wanted kids to see that, you know, they're part of a community. And it's really the people and the places that make a community. So how can they connect with their own community and feel a part of the community? And I do that through the vehicle of a cat called Aphrodite, who runs away from home and on her adventures meets people and goes to different places. But she always comes home. So it's that. That universal theme of that there's no place like home, and home really is where you feel, where you belong in essence.
And then this is your first book, right? You've written two books, Catch That Cat and Trip to Greece. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So Trip to Greece, was developed for children going to Greece for a holiday, a summer holiday, and it's an activity book that the children can complete on the plane or in Greece. It looks at, it's got different drawing, writing activities, some keywords in, to learn, and it also, so it's bilingual, it's got Greek and English, and it just helps kids to do something or to take notice of their environment when they're in Greece. By the same token, even if they're not going to Greece for a holiday, you know, they can actually learn about what it's like to go and visit in summer. There's photographs of different locations in Greece and, you know, how to order food from a menu, the different beaches, you know, the pebbly beaches or the sandy beaches, so they can do some observations and respond via some drawing and writing activities.
That's fast. So I'm still curious about this, because once you start writing this child, children's book, I guess I'm curious about the journey. I always love digging into the journey of any entrepreneur or any professional. What led you down the path of writing, and how did you become this expert on multicultural children? Was there a turning point? Was it something that someone said to you that sparked your journey towards this arena?
There were, I guess, two main reasons. The first one is when I used to visit Kythira in summer, I never saw a children's book for sale at the souvenir shops. And I thought it was a missed opportunity. Books are such easy things to carry in a suitcase and bring back as a present. And I thought it'd be nice for kids to be able to have a bit of a memento, or receive a book about the place where they've originated, or this part of Greece they could learn more about if they're a tourist. And the second reason was because growing up, I didn't have a book to learn about my cultural place of origin. So I thought it was important to do that for other kids, to create practical, real-life resources that they could use and enjoy. And, a book is such a lovely bonding experience between a parent and a child, or a grandparent and a grandchild. So I thought that was something I really wanted to develop and experiment with. And, it's been a lovely – it was my first book, got such a lovely reception. A lot of people got behind it and embraced it. And then my second book, I really saw an opportunity for kids learning Greek in Australia. There were no sort of activity books that they could maybe use at school that had been developed by a Greek Australian. A lot of the books they use to learn Greek they come from overseas, from Greece usually. And so I wanted to kind of experiment with developing a practical resource that kids learning Greek in sort of school environments could use. But my most recent project is I grew up in a city called Brisbane, and I've moved to Melbourne, which has the largest Greek population outside of Greece. So it's in terms of the cities that have Greek people, it's the second largest city outside of Greece. So there's so many Greek people around that you hear Greek very prominently in the streets. There's a lot of Greek restaurants, a lot of activities for people who want to connect with their Greek heritage. And I've come because I wanted to approach, I've come to do my PhD looking at children of Greek heritage and how they feel about being Greek in Australia, and how they see their culture moving forward as the generations progress in Melbourne. So I'll be doing digital stories with kids, where I'll be getting them to make their own little videos about how they connect with being Greek, and doing interviews with family members, taking video footage of any events that they go to, and making a little personal story that we'll showcase in an exhibition, and also in a book that they can keep as a memento of the project.
I'm a big fan of what you're doing. I think it's important for kids, and I think it's important for parents, especially ones that are curious about figuring out to navigate, these the cultural dynamics of the multicultural world that we live in today. Your books, Amazon, right? That's where you can find your books, or on your website.
The best way is my website. It's catchthatcat.com.
I'm looking at your website right now. Order Catch That Cat, and I'm seeing you reading that to kids, and I can see all the kids engrossed in the book. Now, how did you come up with the title Catch That Cat?
Well, I wanted something catchy, I guess.
Oh, you wanted like, something catchy, so you created Catch That Cat. Okay, gotcha.
I wanted something that phrase "catch that cat's" repeated throughout the book. So it, you know, it's, the book's really, it's a picture book pitched at kids between the age of 3 and 8. So it's got that repetition, and whoever's been to a Greek island knows there's cats everywhere. Usually at the restaurants, you know, walking around. So it's an animal that you will see when you visit Greece, and. The story was inspired by my auntie had a cat that she had brought from Athens to take you through on a summer vacation, and she was going to leave the cat on the island to become an island cat. So I was just interested in this cat's transition, being cooped up in an apartment building, to moving to this island, you know, having free reign, going on adventures, and so the cat. Her cat was called Cinnamon in Greek, and I just observed her, and she was a beautiful-looking cat. She was white with these beautiful ginger splotches, and that's in that's the inspiration for the book. You know, me watching her and just seeing how she was a bit of a magnet too for people who would come and, you know, want to pat her. And she had a definite personality. That's how the first book came about.
I love it. And before we wrap up here, can you share your most surprising lesson that you've learned from these deep personal connections that you've created as you've written these books and gone on to read to all these amazing kids all over the world?
My most personal connection.
Yeah, the most surprising things that you've learned from creating all these personal connections with kids all over the world.
Oh, I think kids get it. Kids, you know, if they do have a different, they understand that people are different, have different cultural, nuances. They understand that there is difference in the world, and they also understand that it can be a source of such joy to be able to be proud of your own heritage, and I think that pride is essential to really a healthy identity formation. Those opportunities that we create as adults for kids to connect with different cultures in a positive way is just key to building tolerant societies.
Yeah, 100%. We're talking to Melina, and she is someone that empowers children to connect with their community and cultural background. She encourages children to learn and gain greater insight into the world we live in. And she helps organizations encourage positive relations across diverse multicultural communities. That last part that I just read, helping organizations encourage positive relationships across diverse multicultural communities. I run a diversity and inclusion firm, so I'm very curious about how you do that with organizations.
I guess you need to make yourself known and show... showcase the offering and how you can add value to those organizations. So my books I've donated to some refugee shelters, so some new immigrants coming in so they can have some resources. And actually, though it's a picture book, they're using it to teach adults English in those centers. So I think, and that most of these refugees are coming from sort of Syria, Afghanistan areas, the Middle East. So I think it's you need to seek out those organizations that are receptive to the type of work you're doing, and have those similar shared ideas. And also, I think doing events is really key. So any, being a presence at any festivals or, libraries, doing book readings and, that raises questions and gets people's interest in the type of work you're doing and spreading the word.
Yeah. This reminds, it just connects to an earlier point you said, self-awareness is key and understanding, who we are, how we respond to differences, and why we should still be ourselves despite those differences is very important. And then I love how you provide education opportunities and then you present the offering to them. And then, you know, people can go from there, organizations can go from there. As we get to the last half of this, or last third of this interview, tell me something about Greece that not many people know. I know people see Greece, they say, Opa! Or they do the, or, you know, Sisterhood of Traveling Pants, one of my favorite movies. I did say that out loud. Yes, it is one of my favorite movies, the Sisterhood of Traveling Pants. But, you know, and Mamma Mia is another good movie. But all these movies show Greece either in, you know, the Greek mythology type of format or, you know, this destination type wedding, romantic getaways. But what about Greece do you want people to know?
Look, there's a saying in Greece, it's called philotimo. It's a word. It's F-I-L-O-T-I-M-I. Sorry, I-M-O. And it means, it's a really hard word to define, but it actually, when you go to Greece, you experience it because it's hospitality. It's someone opening up themselves to their home or to their family and with open arms and helping you if you need help. It's something that, it's a trait I think that you see in a lot of cultures, but it's really, embedded in the Greek psyche. And I've experienced that in Greece many times. In Greece, it's funny. It's a different, you have to expect the unexpected because things don't work like clockwork as in probably in America or Australia. It just, you go with the flow in Greece, you know, If you run into a situation where you need some help or something's not working or you've missed your plane or your flight, it's amazing who comes to the rescue in Greece. There's always a way. There's always a solution. And that to me is what, I guess I'm probably one of, when I think of being Greek, it's one of the traits that I'm really most proud of inheriting.
Yeah.
Is that sense of openness and willingness to be kind.
Yeah, no, and then you can go with the flow, obviously, and adapt quickly, it appears.
You have to, yes.
Yeah. you would definitely do well in New York with that trait. the last question I have is my mission statement, use your difference to make a difference. I ask my guests this all the time. So how do you, Melina, use your difference to make a difference?
Oh, well, I think it's through education, through educating children to be, not to be better citizens, but to be proud of who they are and of what good they can impart to the world and with those they come in contact with every day. And what examples, they can be for others in their communities. So I think it's for me, educating through books obviously is the way that I make a difference.
Okay. There you have it. Melina Malice using her difference to make a difference by educating through books. We've been talking for the last 40 minutes or so to Melina, who is a bilingual author of two children's books, Catch That Cat and Trip to Greece. We'll make sure to put all that in the show notes. And, thank you for really spending time to show us what it's like to connect in a positive way to your country or your culture of heritage. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Likewise, likewise, likewise. And ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.